This morning, I trust that the gospel will help us to lay down our lives even more for Jesus. So for those of you who are visiting or who are new with us this year, we're really excited about our grow process, okay? Anyone heard of the word grow in our church before? I hope you've heard it at least 10 times, but you're going to hear it lots this year. So this morning I'm going to talk about the last letter in our acronym GROW, the W. And Ains and I were chatting this week in the office, and if you look at the GROW there, if you can put up the slide, the first slide, thanks Xavier, you'll see that there's four things when it comes to this whole GROW process that we are pursuing. And we're not pursuing GROW so much as we're pursuing Christ. I mean, growing up into Christ. That is the scripture, and we'll share it on the camp. So please come to the camp if you can. Just for the Saturday morning, we really want to share strategy and just share basics about why we do this and what our simple church process is. We want to make church simple and effective, and we want to glorify God through our church. But sometimes church can become complicated. Eh? Anyone been around church life more than 1 year? Church can become complicated, right? Where two or more are gathered, God is there, but people are there as well. And so church can become complicated. We really want to make it simple. And if you look at the four letters of the GROW, the G-R-O and W, the gather, the relate, the obey, and the witness, then you'll see that two of them refer to loving God and two of them refer to loving people. I want you to see that, and they prayed this morning, all we want to do is to love God and love people. So the gathering, and I'm just sharing simple stuff quickly because some of you might not be on the camp, but we'll share it on the camp again. But the gathering to Christ is about loving God, about coming to Christ, coming to Him with your stuff and with your burdens just as you are. You know, our bus says, come as you are. You've seen our show bus, it says, come as you are. We want to tell the world, come as you are. Just come to Christ, come to Jesus. Don't come to us. Primarily come to Jesus, but we believe Jesus is here. So come to our church, come to Jesus. And the O is about obeying God. It's about doing what God says. And God will normally say to us, go. Amen. God has never said to us, only come. He said, come to me, but then go, right? Go out into the world. Go, go, go. If you love me, you will obey me. So God sends us. God's got a mission for us. God's got a purpose for us. So that is loving God, is by coming to Him, gathering to Him, and by obeying Him. And then there's two things that we need to do in terms of loving people. We need to love people within the church. That's relating to people. That's what we're very good at, I believe. Can still be better. But God doesn't want us only to love people in church. And Peter confirmed it this morning. He wants us to love people out of church, outside of church. And sometimes we're good at loving people within the church, but we're not very good at loving people outside of the church. And I believe God wants to take us on a journey to become lovers of people outside the church. He says, love me and love people. But people doesn't only mean people in the church. So I want us to be challenged sometimes, because we sometimes want to focus more on loving people in the church than people out the church. And God says it's both. It's not one or the other. It's not one more than the other. It's love people. God does not box Himself in. And so this morning, when it comes to loving God and loving people, I think this morning is about loving God, but I think it's a lot about loving people outside the church. And so this morning, I've titled my sermon, The Beauty of the Good News. Tell someone next to you, the good news is beautiful. But even more beautiful, or not even more beautiful, but what's also beautiful about the good news is those who bring the good news. Amen. I was running on our farm in the mountains in the holidays, and I actually prepared this message at the beginning of the year, and the Lord just prevented me from sharing it because I believe today is the day that I'm going to share it. And so I prepared this message literally at the beginning of January 2020. And it's just so amazing looking at my message that I prepared, and I wrote things down which I believe God was saying about 2020, and some of the stuff is already happening literally in our midst. But I was running on the farm in those mountains there in the Karoo, and I was reminded of the scripture in Isaiah chapter 52, which we're going to read this morning. How beautiful are on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. And I was running literally on a mountain and God was reminding me of how beautiful it is when we go for him, when we run for him, when we bring the good news. And I was reminded of another mountain when I got filled with Holy Spirit back in Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch has got a little few more mountains than our farm in the Karoo, but our farm in the Karoo has got a few mountains. But I was reminded of the mountains God took me to fill me with His Spirit and to set me on a mission for Him. And if it wasn't for those mountains or that place of Stellenbosch, I don't know where I would have been today, but I'm so thankful for Shofar and for where I got filled with His Spirit and got set on a mission for Him. Got called into the ministry and equipped and sent. And I was reminded of the scripture, and I want to go through the scripture this morning, because this week I'm sure South Africa had some bad news. Anyone here, bad news this week for our nation? You know, the nations of the world have been receiving lots of bad news, but we received our first case of coronavirus potential, or someone who is infected, and when we received another one again, and so the whole world is wondering, you know, are we going to die of this virus? Is everyone going to die? Bad news is terrible, because bad news is never like clear, you know. It's like you always wonder about stuff. You know, how badly is this virus going to affect us and me and my own life and my family and this nation and the nations of the world? How badly is it going to affect us? So bad news is not always nice. Bad news is always uncertain, right? The devil always brings fear, and it's always lies, and it's always half-truths or half... It's never clear, right? But on the other hand, good news is so clear. Good news is sure. Good news is powerful. Good news is able to change us. Good news is something we can trust. Bad news we can never trust, because we're not sure, you know, what is the outcome going to be? But with the good news this morning, I want you to remember that there's nothing like the good news. Amen. The good news of the gospel is so powerful. It's so amazing. It's so life-changing and life-assuring if we trust in the good news. Isaiah is prophesying to Israel in this piece of scripture. It's a prophecy where Babylon has found themselves captive for, some say, 70 years. Up to 70 years, the Israelites have been captive in Babylon. And Isaiah is prophesying, and he says, Israel, there's a time to come when there's going to be a messenger, a herald, that's going to bring you good news. He's going to bring you good news about Cyrus's decree, because the king of Babylon, Cyrus, is going to decree to the Israelites, you guys can go, you are free. After 70 years, it's a lifetime, it's literally a whole lifetime, being caught up in captivity. Can you imagine the incredible joy that these people must have heard when they realized we can be free, we can go? And that is the context of this whole scripture, is that there's good news coming to these people. And so let's read together in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 52. It says the following. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. How beautiful are the feet. Look at someone next to you and say, are your feet beautiful? You see, feet are not really the most beautiful part of the body, right? In fact, feet are kind of the last thing that you'll kind of, you know, rave about. But I love how the writer intentionally uses feet and uses the symbolism of feet, because he's saying, first of all, this messenger that's going to bring this good news isn't bringing this news very slowly. He's moving. Feet are used to move, right? He's literally running to bring the good news to Israel that their time is up for captivity. They can be free. The message is not being delayed. It is so good. And secondly, even though feet are not the most beautiful part of the body, what is amazing is when the feet are the vehicle to bring good news, they just become beautiful. Because if you're dying, and you get a message of salvation, if you're dying and you don't care how that message is brought to you, it can look terrible on the outside, but the intrinsic value of that message, the beauty of that message is amazing. And the writer is using this, Isaiah is using, he's saying that the feet of this guy are so beautiful, even though it's probably the ugliest part and the stinkiest part and the most unromantic part of the body, the feet are beautiful because they're running, they're moving, and without feet, the message wouldn't get to where it needs to get. So you won't worry about the instrument that brings the message to you if you're in trouble. If you're literally dying and drowning, you just need help, however weird it looks on the outside. And so the writer is saying that there's such a beautiful good news. The feet of this one who brings good news is amazing. And then he starts to explain, what is this good news? What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Number one, it's a gospel of peace. Amen. And he's saying to Israel, he's saying, there's going to be a good news coming of peace. Your peace is going to be secured. And this morning I want to say the gospel is so good because it's a gospel of peace. What is this peace? It's an upward peace. It's your peace with God, first of all. And he was saying to the Israelites, you can have an upward peace. You can be at peace with God. God is not cross with you anymore. God has turned Cyrus's heart. You can be free. Because I want to be at peace with you, and I want you to be at peace with me. Secondly, it's a gospel of peace inwardly. It's a peace within yourself. You can forgive yourself. You can be free of the war that's in yourself and within yourself. And thirdly, it's a peace outwardly where God wants to reconcile us with other people and himself with other people. It's a peace upward between us and God. It's a peace inwardly between within ourselves. And it's a peace outwardly towards other people. And I believe this morning some of you need peace again in your hearts. Even within yourself. Even just to forgive yourself and to love yourself and to accept yourself and to be at peace with sometimes the sinful nature within us wrestles with the spirit. And God just wants to bring peace there. Amen. It's the good news of the gospel. And I believe 2020 is a year of rest. God wants us to enter into his rest. And that's why this gospel is so powerful. The peace of God is the rest of God. And it brings us into freedom. Brings us into his absolute peace. So he says the feet of this guy are so beautiful, this messenger of good news, and the good news itself is so beautiful because it talks about peace. It's a gospel of peace. Secondly, it says here, who brings glad tidings of good things? Not only is it a gospel of peace, but it's a gospel of joy. Not happiness, not just a nice feeling. It's a gospel of joy, intrinsic joy, joy that you can never know from the outside, that you can never get from other people or from circumstances or from yourself. It's a joy that comes from the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning, this gospel is for our good. And it's for your good. He says it's glad tidings of good things. God has got good things for you. Amen. Tell someone else, God has got good things for you. But it's not your good things, it's his good things, and he knows what's best, and sometimes he holds back on us, right? Sometimes he holds back on us because he knows we're pursuing more the good things than him, and he wants us to pursue him, but he's got good things for us. Amen? It's a gospel of joy and of peace, and then thirdly he says, this messenger is so good, this news is so good that it talks of one who proclaims salvation. If you read the definition of salvation, it's not just about being born again. It's not just about being saved and saying your name is written in the book of life and that's it. Salvation is so much more. It talks about deliverance. It talks about freedom, liberty. It talks about victory. It talks about prosperity. It talks about welfare. It talks about health. And I can go on and on and on. All the good things that salvation encompasses, the word salvation. And in this context, it's talking about people who have been oppressed and depressed and they are caught up in slavery, and it says, there's freedom, there's salvation for you. You can be saved. And sometimes we need just to be saved from ourselves, right? We had friends in the ministry visiting us on Friday. They're in a church down in the Cape, and they're such good friends of ours. And I loved the husband just prayed for us and for all of us. Lord, just save us from ourselves sometimes. First of all, Lord, save us from ourselves and then save others. But Lord, we need your salvation. We need your fullness of life. And then lastly, it's a gospel where this man or this messenger, this herald says to Zion, your God reigns. You know that song? Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Forever your kingdom reigns. And it talks about God reigning in cosmic terms. It talks about this amazing universe that God is in control of. Like Haynes prayed this morning, God is sitting on the throne of South Africa. God is sitting on the throne of the nations. God is sitting on the throne of your life. We just have to recognize that that's what being born again and coming into a relationship with Jesus is, just recognizing that He is actually in control of our life. And unfortunately, He will have the final say if we don't choose Him. He is in control and He has the right to say, I didn't know you. Depart from me. He has the right to put us into hell. He doesn't want to, but He has the right and He's in full control. Because He has the power and He has the authority. The victory is God's. God reigns and God loves you so much that He doesn't want you to go and be lost forever. He wants you to have relationship with Him. But I want to say, church, this morning that this messenger was brought to us through Isaiah to the people of Israel to say that God reigns. Doesn't matter how many years you've struggled, how many years you've suffered, there's freedom for the captives. There's victory in Jesus Christ. There's victory in God. So how beautiful are your feet this morning? The second verse, in verse 8, it goes on. I'm going to read up until verse 10 and just go through it with us. So what happens when this good news is proclaimed? And I want you to think about this in your own life. If you realize this is the good news of Jesus Christ, it's a gospel of peace, it's a gospel of joy, it's a gospel of salvation, it's a gospel that says God reigns. And doesn't the world need to know that in this day and age we're living in? God reigns. Our God reigns. And what's so amazing is we can say our God, because He's my God, He's our God, and He reigns, and we can tell the world that He reigns. So what happens when the gospel is proclaimed? Isaiah carries on and he says, this is what's going to happen, Israel. Your watchmen are going to lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Who's going to bring back Zion? Shofar? Alistair? No, the Lord is going to bring back Zion. The Lord is going to bring us back to Him, and then He's going to bring all nations to Him, as we'll see just now. But it's amazing when He talks here about watchmen, and this just ties in with what God wants to do this year. The watchmen are people who represent a focus, people who represent an expectancy, an alertness in the spirit, a readiness. They are people who can see far off, right? So I've taken a picture of a meerkat sentinel. Anyone knows little meerkats? You've seen them. They're cute and all that. You know, they have guards that watch when danger comes, and they'll squeak and shout and warn the rest of the pack that there's danger coming, so hide. But I love the picture of this meerkat looking in the tree or standing as high as possible to look out for any danger and to be on the watch. And it's a picture of what God says when the gospel is preached. You know what? The watchmen, those who are alert and ready and waiting and expectant for Him to come back, are going to be in such unity. And they're going to lift up their voices, and they're going to not sing of danger and of fear and of anything. They're going to sing of freedom. They're going to lift up their voices and sing together. And then it says, for they shall see eye to eye. There's going to be unity when the Lord starts to move. Amen. Those who are guarding and watching will see this messenger coming from afar off, and he will start to sing as they experience God doing a mighty work in their midst. And I wrote this down at the beginning of the year. I'm honest, I didn't know what God was going to do, you know, this last while through the prayer ministry. That's what was so powerful on Wednesday, to be there and to experience God just saying, you know, I'm doing something here. So be there on Tuesday night if you can. I really believe God is, it's not about who's teaching or what is being taught. It's about God doing exactly this. That we as His watchmen, and I want to say we're all watchmen. Tell someone next to you, you're a watchman. Whether you come to the prayer meeting on Tuesdays or not, I don't care, but you're a watchman. And so stand up and watch like that meerkat is doing. Amen. Stand up in the middle of the night if you have to and start watching, start praying, because we're going to see God moving from afar off. We're already seeing little bits of it. But I believe God is saying this year is the year of the anointing to flow. And the watchman represents the anointing, because without prayer, nothing is going to happen. Amen. And so I wrote there, this year, God wants us to walk in the good news of the gospel, to walk in the truth from a place of prayer and intimacy with Jesus and His Holy Spirit. Because the anointing is not going to flow if we don't seek God and just say, God, here I am. I can't anymore. I lay down my life, Lord. Here I am. The watchmen represent anointing, and I believe by the Holy Spirit, when the anointing flows, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be unity. But it comes from the gospel. It comes from the good news of Jesus Christ. When we pray because of the good news. Thanks, Yanni, for this morning. You know, we enter in here because of freedom already. Don't have to do anything. It's the good news that allows us to pray. It's the good news that allows us to intercede, that allows us to worship this morning. It all flows from truth. And when we start to see God far off and we start to see His good news that He's starting to do amazing things, we're going to see eye to eye. There's going to be a unity and anointing like never before. And that's what happens because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We cannot do this. We cannot perform this. We cannot psych ourselves up. It's the good news of the gospel of peace and joy and salvation and the fact that God reigns. The second thing that's going to happen when this good news is proclaimed is there's going to be a breaking forth into joy. Verse 9 says the following, break forth into joy. Again, just this thing that the gospel is a gospel of joy. Therefore, why shouldn't we be joyful? Right? We should be excited. We should be full of the joy of the Lord. Not a sort of ungeplucked sort of, let's just be happy on the outside and joyful, but just inside, I'm so cross, I'm so angry. That's not joy. And you can see the difference. Break forth into joy. The Bible says, sing together, Zion. You waste places of Jerusalem. Sing together, for the Lord has comforted His people and He has redeemed Jerusalem. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 verse 40 that if we don't cry out, the stones are going to cry out. Jesus said it to His disciples. If you don't worship me, if, you know what? Nature is going to worship me. Nature is already worshiping me. And it speaks here to the waste places of Jerusalem almost with a little kind of reference to what Jesus was going to say, that you know, even waste places will cry out because of redemption. But God wants people who are in waste places, people who are in ruin, to come to redemption. And I believe when the gospel is preached, guess what? Those who have lost hope will return. Those who have backslidden will repent. Amen. It's talking here about believers. He's actually saying, Jerusalem, people of Israel, you're supposed to believe in me, so turn back. It's not talking about the Gentiles yet. So I believe when God speaks the gospel again, then we're going to break forth into joy. We're going to sing together just like we did this morning. It was so amazing. It felt like there was thousands of people in this hall worshiping. That's the unity that God's Spirit is doing. Those who have lost hope will return. Those who have backslidden will repent. Those who've lost their first love will start to sing for joy again, and there'll be freedom. Those who are lukewarm will catch the fire again. Amen. There's a lot of lukewarm believers around. And I believe when we preach the gospel, they will come back and catch. In fact, maybe they've never caught the real fire of God. They know about God, but they don't know His presence. But there's going to be comfort for the people of Israel. You see, the Lord has not left us. Tell someone next to you, the Lord has not left us. The gospel is the good news that the Lord has come to comfort His people. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's come to comfort us, but He wants us also to go to places where we're going to need comfort. Sometimes it's challenging to be a believer in the world today, right? It is. It isn't sometimes. It just is challenging. It's against the grain. But the Lord has not left us, friends, and the Holy Spirit comes and He wants to be through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer and the Restorer. He wants to take people from ruin to redemption. And maybe there's some people in this place tonight, this morning, that your life, you feel a little bit at ruins at the moment. He wants to redeem you. He wants to comfort you, and He wants to bring you back from bondage. The word redemption talks here about releasing from bondage, and it involves a ransom. It involves a price to pay. If you really want to redeem your life, there's a price to be paid. But you know what the good news is? Well, the bad news maybe is that you cannot pay that price, but the good news is it's been paid. Isn't that amazing to know that your redemption was bought at the highest price that money can ever buy or can never buy, actually? Nothing can compare close to the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. But I want to say this morning that sometimes faith is needed. In many cases, faith is needed to realize the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this prophecy is really in faith. It's standing from a word of God, but it hasn't come to pass yet. But Isaiah is walking in faith and he's prophesying this, and it came to pass. But it needs faith. A guy called John Oswald said the following: to give thanks in advance is the highest form of praise. I've heard John Bevere saying, you know, worship is the highest form of obedience. Well, I like this. To give thanks in advance is the highest form of praise. Praise is not just singing praises to God on a Sunday, but praise is truly saying, God, I thank you for what you've promised. I receive it. I claim it. And it's comfort and redemption for many people. I want to say this morning, we need to be like Paul in Romans chapter 1. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and the Gentile. And then in verse 10, he goes on, he says, when this good news is preached, when the gospel is preached, guess what? The Lord's arm is going to be made bare. And that's a scary place. But it's an amazing place. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in verse 10, and it says, in the eyes of all the nations. Aren't you amazed at the metaphor in this passage of feet, voices, eyes, arms? It talks about God being involved in our personal lives. God is involved with us, and so our feet are going to move, our voices are going to move, we're going to sing, we're going to see. But not only are we going to see, all the nations of the world are going to see the salvation of our God. So when the gospel is preached, there's unity and the anointing of God flows. When it's preached, there's comfort and redemption for God's people and for everyone. But then, the last one, when the gospel is preached, verse 10 says that God is going to show his power and authority to the nations. God is going to show his holiness to all the earth. There's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles to follow those who believe and preach the gospel. If you really want to see signs and wonders, then don't follow after signs and wonders. Just preach the gospel. God promised in his word lots of times that he says signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28, I am with you. Where God is, amazing stuff happens, friends. Don't look for a miracle in your life. Just preach the gospel. Believe in the gospel. And have compassion for people. Don't just go preach a turn or burn message. Go preach a message of love, but a message of repentance. So I believe this year, God said he wants to manifest his presence and glory. There's going to be more testimonies in our midst. And I want to encourage you guys, share testimonies in small groups, wherever you gather, share testimonies of God's goodness. You're going to have a great testimony if you can't even share your little testimony. There's no such thing anyway as a little and a great testimony, but if God wants to do amazing stuff, like wow stuff, then start sharing the little stuff. Amen. The stuff that maybe doesn't seem so wow, but it's still wow because it's God. If it's God, it should be wow. Why does God want us to share testimonies? Why does God want to manifest his holy arm in the eyes of the nations so that unbelievers, the Gentiles, can come in? The scripture was not prophesied or was not written only for the people of Israel. It ends here in verse 10 and says, I want the Gentiles to believe. God's heart was never just for Israel. God's plan was always for the whole earth to come, and that is why Jesus came and his Holy Spirit was poured out for us today. But look at that. It says twice. It says the eyes of all the nations, and then it says everyone in the whole earth shall see. They must be witnesses. They must also be witnesses to God's amazing power. But are you a witness to God's amazing power? Are you a witness so that others can also witness? Have you seen God's incredible hand and his mighty arm doing awesome stuff? So getting practical this morning, how do people see? Number one, people see the amazing work of God by our love for one another. John chapter 13 verse 35 says, by this the world will see, by our love for one another. And secondly, by miracles. By stuff that no man can do. And I want to say this morning, guys, our unity here, or our gathering together, is a miracle in itself. The fact that we are here is just amazing. But we can't also just be gathered and God sort of will be here, or we can be gathered and God will really be here, and there's such a love for each other. And I want to thank you for loving each other. I want to thank you for being here and for being part of this church. As Peter said, it's really a church of love. We're not there yet. We're still getting there. But thank you for loving each other. Thank you for loving God. But it's a witness, friends. That's what's so powerful about a Sunday morning service and a Wednesday connect group and a Bible school and a wherever we gather, a prayer meeting. It's a witness. It's not just about our gathering. So I want you to see this gathering as a witness. We don't do all of this just to make church happen. We do all of this because it's a witness to people in this area. It's a witness in the spirit that Jesus is alive. Are you excited for that? Have you thought about church in that way before? I want you to come to church and see, I'm part of this witness of God. I don't even have to open my mouth. If I'm the most shyest person, I can literally come in here and I can just sit on a chair and I'm already a witness. But hopefully it doesn't stop there. Hopefully you don't stay a shy person that just comes and sits and comes in and out, and that's fine to start off with, but God doesn't want you to stop there. I remember when I first came to Shofar, I was so afraid. I was so intimidated and just shy of people. I used to sit right at the back and leave and come back, and no one really saw me, but I knew God was there. And I wanted to be part of what God was doing. And God changed my life. He made me into someone who can actually be a voice for Him, actually speak for Him. But just be a witness by, first of all, loving each other and gathering to Christ, coming to Christ together. It's an incredible witness. But the second one is gonna take more boldness, where God uses us to step out in mighty signs and wonders, words of knowledge for people, healings. But let's step out in prayer. Let's pray for people. Let's be bold to speak to people. Let's, like Peter did, let's just ask someone their story. And then you'll see how God breaks your heart, because you'll realize your life is so blessed when you see how many broken people there are out there. But God wants to do miracles, guys, but He's not going to entrust His glory to us if we're going to take the glory for ourselves. He wants to reveal His mighty arm. He wants to make bare, talking about revealing Himself. God really wants to do it that people can see. It's not just an inward thing. It's really something that people can see. So can people see God in your life as an individual, and can He see God in us as we get together? Can He? But it's the time for God's manifest presence and glory through our witnessing. So I just want to end off this morning with just a summary of the messengers of the Bible. The first messenger that ever came, the first herald that there ever was God Himself when He spoke the creation into being. He was the first messenger. He was the good news, God Himself. But then God entrusted His message to His prophets of the Old Testament. The prophets spoke of old, and Moses wrote down all the stuff that happened right at the beginning, and God's word was starting to be carried out through His people. So God Himself was the first messenger. Then He used the prophets. Then He realized, oh, this people are never going to save people, so there's only one plan. And then He used the final prophet, or the second last prophet that came, was John the Baptist, that came to prepare the way of the Lord and said, repent, turn. And then came the messenger of all messengers in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He became the message. And in Hebrews 1 it says, God has in the previous time spoken through the prophets and through His Spirit, but in these last days He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the final prophet. And He has come to bring the good news. But then Jesus said, I've got to go away and I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And He anointed the apostles, the first apostles, and they became the first sent ones, messengers. They took the gospel to the ends of the earth. And we are here today because of the faithfulness of the first and the many apostles and martyrs that came after them. But friends, we are living in the day and age where Jesus has risen. The apostles have all died. Guess who the messengers are right now? Tell someone next to you, you're a messenger. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you and me are messengers of this final era before Jesus, the final messenger, comes back again and makes everything new. He's the last messenger again because he will return and he will make things perfect, and there won't be a need for a gospel message anymore because we'll all be in heaven. Hopefully, all of us will be in heaven. And hopefully many others will be in heaven with us. But then there won't be any message because there won't be any time to repent anymore. There won't be time for people again when Jesus has come back. But until Jesus comes back, friends, like this herald that came to Zion, came to Jerusalem to preach the good news that Cyrus has let the people free, so today we are the heralds. We are the messengers by the power of the Spirit to tell people God has set you free. And aren't you thankful in your life for someone that came to tell you the gospel? Because each one is sitting here where someone told you the good news. And maybe they offended you. Maybe you're not even friends with them or you don't like them anymore. But just be thankful that someone was the messenger. And their feet weren't so beautiful. Their feet maybe were stinky or maybe. But how beautiful was that message when you realized, I am free. And so you can have beautiful feet this morning, even though you feel like your feet aren't worthy, or you're unfit, and you haven't stepped out, you know, your feet haven't moved in a long time. God wants you to move your feet this morning. Just take one step. And I want to say to us, church, let's be witnesses to the world. Because we've got the best message since sliced bread, okay? Sliced bread isn't actually that great a message. But the gospel is the best message. Let's witness to the world. Let's do what Ephesians 6 verse 15 says, because it's amazing our feet are mentioned in the full armor of God. Have you ever thought about that? Feet are mentioned in the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 15, and it says the following, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. Put on all the other stuff. Make sure you put on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit and do all that stuff. But make sure also you put your feet, or you clothe your feet, you put shoes on of the readiness to announce the good news. The contemporary English version says it like this: your desire to tell the good news about peace should be like shoes or sandals on your feet. So the question I'm going to ask this morning is, will you go for him? And how beautiful are your feet? And who cares how beautiful your feet are physically? Because you know what? They're beautiful when they bring a beautiful message. I was walking in the sea in Port Elizabeth in the holidays. A friend of mine has got a canoe, it's a canoe. So he said to me, I must go with him, and he's got a double. And so I had to get across the rocks because it was low tide. And so there were sort of these rocks. There was water over the rocks, but you can't put the canoe there. You've got to go a little bit deeper in. And I forgot to bring my shoes. So I had to walk across. I don't know if you guys have walked across these sharp rocks and you don't have shoes on. You know, those irritating rocks. You just want to get into the soft sand or get onto the waves or onto a boat, but you have to walk across these, and it's painful. And he's like waiting for me there. He said, come man, come. And I'm like, so, but my feet are really like very weak because I don't walk barefoot these days. I'm not like my son Nathan that everywhere he goes is barefoot, and his feet are tough. My feet aren't so tough walking across these rocks. But I had to get across there, and it was the most painful experience. And I felt the Lord saying, you know, sometimes we like that when it comes to the gospel. We're trying to do this Christian life. We're trying to be witnesses, but God just says, just put on your feet, put on your shoes. Because it's going to be painful to walk over those rocks without the readiness to proclaim the gospel. Sometimes it becomes frustrating being a Christian and we're just not doing what it's really about, telling other people the good news. Because that is really what it's about. It's about being a witness. So don't walk over rocks in the sea again without shoes on. Don't try to do this Christian life. Don't try to even preach the gospel without saying, God, equip me with your anointing. I want to put on the shoes as a readiness to proclaim. I'm not going to try to be a witness. I am a witness. So Lord, I put on my feet. I put on my shoes this morning. What is this gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. That is the gospel that you need to preach, that I need to preach. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And guess what that leads to? That leads to a decision. Repentance and faith. And then you can have forgiveness. Three things. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And then three other things. It requires repentance, faith, and results in forgiveness of sins. That is the gospel. And sometimes we don't preach the repentance part. We just say, hey, God's got a great plan for your life. But no, God says, lay down your life. It's turning away from the old life. My last scripture, and the band can come forward this morning, and we're going to pray. It's not up on the board, but Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says the following. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, and here's the scripture again that is quoted in Romans chapter 10 that refers directly to Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace.